And now,
Capital 263.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike Said Match. Thank you for the listens, the reviews and the comments so far in 2018. And we're promising you, as we did in the first episode, that 2018 is full of fireworks. And that's all we're doing. My name is Lizwe Chitanganya, and you are officially joined Mike Said Match for our interesting episode with one of the... I should say a big fan of cricket, someone who probably can be termed as in the know. Don't you agree, Slim?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's in the know. Welcome to Mike Said Match. This is Slim Sam, Shingrai Emmanuel Mponde. And I hope you enjoy the show. We promised you cricket and we're going to give you a lot of cricket.
Yeah, today we're solely focusing on cricket. The first episode was an introduction to the year. Now we get into what we promised. It's cricket time, and it's time to get into all the nitty-gritties that have been happening. So today we're joined by a man that I've come to respect based on much of his conversations on Twitter, on cricket Twitter. And I don't know if he's a new member to cricket Twitter or he's always been there.
He's always been there, but we started realizing that he has the knowledge as we went on.
Okay. You know,
he adds value to the conversation of cricket Twitter.
Okay. Brian, how's it?
You guys, you're making me nervous now. It was like everybody will be listening and say, but this guy, what he's saying, we already know that. So why are you guys...
What?
You know?
Well, we have some information that we didn't know that until you put it up. Then we're like, okay, so there must be something juicy going on at Zimbabwe Cricket. Yes. So, Zim Cricket. Yeah, we'll just get straight into it. Oh, this is Brian Goredema. You are on Twitter, Facebook, etc.
Twitter is at Brian Goredema, Facebook, yeah, but once I found that I've learned more on Twitter than I've learned on Facebook. So Facebook, it's something that I just do once in a while.
Okay.
And even by my comments, that I get after posting something, it just tells you that I've lost touch with my friends on Facebook.
Yeah, that's what happens to all of us. We get addicted to the Twitter because that's where the conversations fire. You might hear some background noise. Don't worry, there's a church just outside where we're recording, so please bear with us on that. But we'll try to be as audible as possible. Brian, Zimbabwe Cricket, what are your thoughts? 2017, what happened?
Oh, I don't even know where to start. I'm still having that hangover of what happened in Port Elizabeth. That a game that was supposed to take 4 days. And people were complaining before the game that how can you make cricket be played in 4 days? We are taking away the purity of the game that is just cricket. But we know what happened. Zimbabwe lost inside 2 days. And I've been a witness to that before. I remember when I was doing studio work for ZBC in 2005. We lost a game. We lost a game in Cape Town. When we lost the game inside 2 days, the same again at RS Sports Club when you played New Zealand in 2005 as well. We also lost a game as well inside 2 days. But to lose the game the way that we lost it, it makes everybody wonder where we are going in Zimbabwe cricket. I'm talking about us as fans because I've been following this game, I think, for the past almost now 2 decades. And as a journalist for the past 12 years.
Wow.
That's what I've been doing. So I've seen the highs and I've seen the lows. And if you ask me right now, I'm just like somebody who's got a dead leg. Where if you're going to pierce it, you know.
Nothing, you won't feel any pain.
I don't feel anything.
There was a school of thought that, you know, we've seen how India performing in South Africa right now. Is it not just because South Africa, we're truly that good with the ball in hand, as opposed to us being very, very poor?
I remember on the eve of that game, I've been wanting to do a thread about what happened, to share my thoughts with my followers on Twitter of the pink test, day, night, 2 day, 4 day, whatever you want to call it, about Zimbabwe. Because I knew that India were going to struggle in that game. and people would now try and compare Zimbabwe and India. I remember posing one question. I said, India, they win in their conditions. Do we win in our conditions? No. We lost to West Indies on a flat deck. And I remember when the technical team of West Indies technical team were talking, they said, preparing a flat deck does not help anyone, does not help Zimbabwe. I remember we were trying to counter the pace of Shannon Gabriel and Kima Roche. Now, Kima Roche now posts 130s instead of the 140s. So obviously, that's why I did that thread to say no. India has the bowlers, has got the batters. Because if you look at someone like Pujara, Pujara was in England where he was playing county cricket. So obviously he was prepared before he came to South Africa, because if you look at the seeming conditions, the English seeming conditions, they are almost similar or even worse than South Africa. So obviously Pujara is the new Dravid for India. He's the war. So, but again, Pujara struggled. But again, if you go back to that test where Australia played South Africa, when Fernando Philander came to the scene, you remember they were, you know, what happened in that game. So all those things, it's not really about Zimbabwe. We are not as good as we think. Let me be honest.
There we go. We've been waiting for that.
Yes, we are not as good as we think. We used to be good, but right now we are all over the place. Like a bowler who is bowling leg side, offside, one bouncer, you know, who doesn't even know what they want to do. So, in a nutshell, 2017, the most important thing is coming in about 2-3 months time. That is the World Cup qualifiers. Let's forget about what happened in Port Elizabeth.
So, well, Slim, okay, you can go on.
Yes, I want to agree with Brian, because Alviro Peterson, when the test was announced, do you remember what he said?
He
tweeted and said, Proteas to play Boxing Day test in Port Elizabeth against Zimbabwe. Nice average booster. You remember us asking PJ Moore about this tweet? It was proved right. Let's be honest, we always say India struggled. India had a chance to win the test against South Africa in Port Elizabeth, with South Africa in, I think, 18 or 20 tests. They've only lost twice in Port Elizabeth. Is it Port Elizabeth in... No. They played the test in India. The first one was played in Cape Town.
In Cape Town.
Yes, they've only lost twice there. It's where they know that this is our home and they defend it. So to see India going into that fourth day with a chance to win, of course they did not win, but that is a game where you see that they were trying. So really, I think Zimbabweans are given a lot of excuses. They always try and look for another team, for another excuse. This is the reason why cricket doesn't grow, I think, because we always give them excuses.
Brian, Slim, no excuses for Zim cricket, and I have no rebuttal for that. Brian, you've mentioned that we are not as good as we think, but we've just recently got back Brendan Taylor and Kyle Jarvis. People have been playing in those conditions you've just mentioned, that, you know, they suited that sort of play, that or that field that we got in South Africa. Are we not stronger now that Taylor and Jarvis are back?
You see, our main problem is not really about the playing 11. It's about the system. How much four-day cricket did Brendan Taylor play going into this test? How much cricket did Kyle Jarvis play going into this series? Kyle Jarvis, for me, I found it to be, let me use this way, to be very stupid to prepare flat deck in Bulawayo when you're paying somebody $15,000 a month. So you've paid effectively 50 times 6, that's about 90 grand for the guy to walk out of his contract with Lancashire and play for Zimbabwe. Then you prepare a flat deck at Queen's Sports Club, but you're saying this is your premier bowler. So already you have not prepared your bowler to go and play against the best. Obvious, Kyle Jarvis, because he had it within him. In that test, we saw what he can do. Obviously, I knew Kyle Jarvis before he went to England. He had a bit of pace. Now he's got more control. And for me, that augurs well for the future. So my point is that, yes, we have sort of strengthened our team. But let's look at what they've done in the three tests that they've come back to. Kyle Jarvis is always is a crybaby when it comes to what to a flat deck. You tell you that he's injured. And I told someone that I'll tell you what, Carl Jeffs will not bowl in the second test in Bulawayo when you played West Indies, because why should he injure his back trying to bowl on a wicket that is not responding? You see, so I'm saying we need to prepare our players for test cricket. We need to have those services. I've said it before, I would rather have a 4-day game end in 2 days where we put a result than have a 4-day game, the game ends in a draw because the deck is flat. So those are the things that I'm mainly concerned with. So I think right now there's not enough competition of to get into the playing 11. By that I mean guys are scoring runs in the Logan Cup, but are we using those statistics? Sivas Joao was the best batsman in the just whatever suspended Logan Cup. Did he even get into the training squad? I'm not even saying the 15 traveling party. So that way we are shooting ourselves in the foot, where we are creating tomorrow's monsters by saying so and so you're good, so you're supposed to play. Let's have competition. Let's have this honest conversation that we need to prepare our players for test cricket, but let the best player in terms of statistics, because you need to tell everyone as a selector, I want you to play at number 4. Let's go to your favorite team, Slim, Liverpool. I'm Arsenal. One of the reasons why Oxlade Chamberlain left Arsenal was not about the money, it's about where he was being used by Wenger, because he wants to go to the World Cup. So as long as he's playing like a right back, he knew that his chances of trying to compete for those places, you know, he was knowing that,
yeah,
you know. So I'm saying go back to the number 4s in the Logan Cup, or go to those that played first drop. That's your number 3. Say, we have got a problem is at first drop. So if you perform, we are going to give you what? A chance. And then if they perform, the Zime side, you need to go again and perform against what? The visiting A sides. And from there, we'll give you what? A chance to come in what? And play at the national level. But you see, you don't even know, what position does Ryan Bell bet. Because I'm saying statistically, going into that test, Ryan Bewa wasn't the best player. There were better players like Tino Mtombozi, who plays in the middle order. Timson Maruma was a better player. Even Regis Chakava. But then you take your squad, you go and say, you determine who's going to play a test based on a warm-up match.
Alright, Brian, just, you've raised two issues here, state of the grounds and selection. On the state of the grounds, you put out on your Twitter account that, in the Logan Cup, Queens is a spinner's track, Kwekwe is a seamer's track, Harare is a batting track, and Mutare is balanced between bat and ball. So if you, Brian, I'm not sure how much, you know, how involved you are with the side, if you know all this information and you believe that that's information that can be used in how we arrange our games and how we make our selection, how come the Zimbabwe cricket team is not using that information to plan for local matches?
On the top of my thread, I said, ideally what we need is a director of cricket. Not just a director of cricket, but somebody who's well-respected. If you remember, when Andy Waller was once the coach of the national team, and he relinquished his post, and then Mangongo took over from Andy Waller.
Uh-huh.
He was said he's now the director of cricket.
Yeah.
But what did he do? He had no influence whatsoever on how the game was played in this country. So, but if you check the West Indies model, where you have, I'm forgetting the name, they the same setup now where they the director of cricket. So I'm saying now the position of the director of cricket becomes the one to set the playing conditions across the country. So from Bulawayo, you go to Kwekwe, you come to Harare, you go to Mutare. Then you set up the playing conditions. But you need somebody whom the local coaches or the franchise coaches respect. So then I gave an example of a person like Davey Horton. The current state of affairs is that the home coach, for example, if you are to go to Bulawayo, Wayne James is in charge of how he wants the track to be. If let's say they're playing, if Tuskers are playing Marshall and Eagles, so it's his prerogative. So you find most of our coaches, they don't want to lose. So they rather prepare something that is flat so that the game gets to four days.
Okay.
But does that help us in the long run? So I'm saying, Pachishona, ku cricket kuto mazhake mazhake. You see, kuti, uyo hasina kudyiwa. Uyo hasina kudyiwa. Andika. So, but I'm saying, kana, if it's the prerogative of the director of cricket, whether you like it or not, in Bulawayo, we say, it's what? It's a spinner's paradise. So it means, first day, it will be flat. Obviously, end of second day, it's turning a bit. Third day, fourth day, it's turning. It means now you are preparing what? Your players to play spin. So it means when you go to Bangladesh, somehow, with almost similar conditions, to such, at what? At King Sports Club. Mm-hmm. Then if you want where it's what? It's seeming. Right now, Harare Sports Club is not what it used to be in the 90s. Kwekwe is the best place to what? To do that. So you put what? A bit of grass, nice bounce, nice carry. So it means your Jarvis, your Kaumumba, all those people who are trying to bowl as quick as they can, they'll be very happy because they've got a trick that does that. So I'm saying the information that I'm giving out there, it's trying to suggest what we can do going forward. But that cannot happen under the current setup where we've got a coach determining what the conditions would be, as long as they are the home side.
Are you saying Heatstreaks got it wrong?
I'm not saying Heatstreak. I'm saying the players, they play in the Logan Cup. That's where they are being prepared for what? For Test cricket.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying, so Wayne James is the coach of Tuskers.
Yes.
So he gets what the playing conditions that suits his Tuskers.
Yes.
So if he fears that maybe because Midwest Rhinos they've got Cal Jarvis, you prepare what a flat take where Cal Jarvis would what would be ineffective.
You won't do any damage.
You see.
Yeah.
But where I'm saying if we are then serious about developing this game, we should all know that if you want to be a good spinner, they are coming from this side, the western side. That is your blue wave. Mm-hmm. If you want a good seamer, your Kadoma area, Gweru, Kwekwe, you're getting youngsters that are coming through that side. If you want to have someone who is good at maybe the balance, because I'll give you a very interesting statistic. In South Africa, those seeming conditions that we saw, do you know that most of their four-day games ended in draws? They would get to day four. So I'm saying their batsmen have learned how to bat in those conditions.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And the games are now ending as draws.
Yeah.
It's a fact. So it's, this minds it where you're trying to prepare, but we are so, our cricket is one, it's boring. Our brand of cricket. Because we're trying to, you know, we are sheepish, you know, in the way that we approach things.
Yes.
So we're always found out at the international level.
Okay, just a quick one on that boring term. I thought the cricket we played in Sri Lanka was very aggressive and very exciting, I should say. In the series that we won in Sri Lanka last year, we could have digressed from that period, but you know what Hamilton and Solomon Mirre were doing in Sri Lanka at that time was pretty bold, pretty exciting cricket.
Solomon did not play in the 4 day game, but yes, you find that the trick that we're playing on at the end of the day was a flat deck. That's a fact. The game that we almost won the test, that's a fact.
Yeah.
We normally call it the dust bowl. When Australia told our Sri Lanka they lost the test series there,
mm-hmm.
because would love to get to one ground you don't go to that TV because that's how much that was there on day one when Sharks. Australia lost, you see. But for us, they tend to be a bit conservative. Ah, this is Zimbabwe. So even you look at the way that they chased that mammoth total in the fourth innings of a test,
yeah. It
tells you the conditions. So my boring part is Chamu is a better 4 day player than Mirre. But then when you are giving Mirre the go ahead to go and play, We are saying we want to change our brand of cricket. We want to attack. We want to make him like the David Warner of what? Of Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And personally, I still prefer to have Hamilton at number three, not opening. See, but because we want to accommodate certain people in the what? In the lineup. Look at his average at number three. Look at his average betting at number one. It tells you that Hamilton is not an opener. Yes, you are saying, you'd say after, if somebody gets out within the first four balls, then he gets him. So he says, good is what is an opener. But I'm saying, ideally, we need to send in a message that our openers need to see out the new ball. So that when the number three, number four come in, they won't struggle against what, at that ball. But all I'm saying is that our cricket is not way, I would say, very aggressive. Because even that day, we should have attacked. Did you see how Jarvis was playing, if you remember? He tried to attack.
He did.
You know, so I'm saying we need to have that aggressive type of cricket if we want to win more games.
I agree with you. For me, I've always said from the captains, even from Brendan Taylor, the captains we have do not know how to attack. The field that is set is always a defensive field. Never, ever have I ever seen them back the bowlers. Right now, Jarvis, if you think he's our premier bowler, please give him a slip corridor, right? You have one or two slips and everyone is by the boundary fence, boundary riders. You are not backing the bowlers. For us, for me personally, I think as Zimbabwe, as you are saying, we need a director of cricket who says from the under 14, under 15, under 19, we play this kind of cricket. Because right now, who are we preparing? What kind of cricket are they supposed to play? Let's be honest, the under 19s, we had a very good under 19 team. The one that really played well in the under 19 World Cup. He came back. Yeah, they just went their separate ways. Now we're seeing a few of them going to the senior team. But what kind of cricket are they going to play? It seems like he raised it in his thread that Mangungu will prepare his under 19s to play whatever brand of cricket. They come here, Streak wants them to play. But if, I am not even sure what Streak wants us to play. For me, I'm not yet convinced that Streak is the right man for the job. But then again, there is a lot of disorder from the structures and everything. And you remember when we had Mo in the studio, he talked about ZC and a few improvements. He even talked about the fact that we play our Logan Cup during the rain season. The time when you know that most of the games will be rained out and things like that. When we could play the rest of the year where there are no rains, where we could do more. But somehow we played during the rain season. And we knew about the qualifiers. Yet we started the Logan Cup late, and then we stopped saying that we are preparing.
Do you know why it's like that?
Why?
It's it's an issue of the symptoms of Zimbabwe cricket. This season used to start it in August, but now I think after August or just before November, December, that's when our yearly money comes from ISIS. So that's when we've got the money to play what a Logan Cup. So you find as much as people say I'm too harsh on Zimbabwe cricket, again, the reason why we are playing this is because of years and years of mismanagement. So that's why we are where we are. Because Mariaka Jigiwa,
money was blown,
you know. So now that's why we our season, it's always stop start.
Okay. You mentioned a point that Hamilton is not betting number three because of certain people wanting certain people in the team. In the thread, you directly mentioned that this thing of selecting our mates should stop forthwith. You then went further, and I'm feeling that you're suggesting that Ryan Bell or PJ Moore are the mates that are being selected. You mentioned also in the thread that Cremer, Taibu and Streak are the three people who are responsible with selection. So you say that Cremer, Taibu and Streak are selecting PJ and Ryan Bell based on friendship?
Yes, that's what I'm suggesting. I'm not even mincing my words. It's there for all to see. You see, my biggest disappointment, especially with Tatenda, it comes back to the series that we hosted. Sri Lanka came to Zimbabwe. They played PJ Moore. is the keeper. PJ Moore was on form in that series where he could have just played as a batsman. You see, he qualified to play in the team. If I was to write the first 11, yeah, his name would be probably there after the captain. That's how good he was going into that series.
Yeah.
You know? And then, but he was a part-time keeper and he dropped so many catches. So you'd see the runs that he scored, he considered them by the way that he dropped catches and the waiver he dropped went on to score 100.
Mm-hmm.
See, we had Regis Chakava, a specialist keeper, who was the better keeper, and a guy with 100, a test 100, in Bangladesh, where most have failed. And we are playing a subcontinent side and he's not giving what? A chance. I'm saying Tatenda, as a former wicketkeeper batsman, should know better the importance of having a specialist keeper. I'm not talking about Slim Ebola. I'm talking about a former wicketkeeper batsman who used to do the job. You know? So I'm saying it defies what? Logic. So now let's fast forward to now. Okay, Tatenda is the convener of selectors.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, I mean, that's a big title. Convener. And the convener is always to hold up, you know what, in Liverpool, where his family and, is. So the only way that he can track what's happening back home is because of the statistics that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Does he use them now? That's the question. Because if you look at the selection, it's not based on what? Statistics. So if you're going to say, PJ is better than, let's say, Regis Chakava, for example. But the statistics that you read whilst you were in England suggest otherwise. So already, for me, I'm just wondering, what are they using? I can now tell you right now, if this is in that thread. Right now, the MD of Zimbabwe Cricket actually questioned why that do we have like a one-man band in terms of the selection. And now they are prescribing a recipe for disaster because of the failure of the selection panel to be rational, if I may use that word.
Yeah.
Now they want to have the selection panel which has five provincial chairpersons. Do those guys know cricket? No! So I'm saying they're trying to address a problem with another problem.
Ideally, what would you prescribe if you were in charge?
Let's go back to what we used to have before, an independent selection panel where you've got three independent selectors who are neither the captain nor the coach, and then you've got the convener, whoever he is. I know, you see, the problem of Zimbabwe cricket at the moment is the issue of legitimacy, where you find you've got your Tabengwa Mkuhlani as the chairperson, right? Where you find probably the world over, the chairperson of BCCI, the chairman of ECB, the chairman of Cricket Australia, somewhere, former what?
Players.
So this guy is now trying to be legitimate by bringing in what? Tatenda Taibu, who is a former player, right? Which is not bad, by the way.
Yeah.
But the conditions that this guy is bringing on the table, that I can't be there full time. And you still say, no, you know? So he's trying to what? To build an image, which is good, but I'm saying we are now seeing the symptoms of it going forward. Cricket is not a personal property. It's Zimbabwe cricket. So let's find the people that are available at the moment. So let's go back to the three main panel who are independent. Yes, you can always consult the coach and the selector. I mean, and the captain, but let's have an independent panel.
So you answer your question that I was going to ask in terms of the selection panel. Do we really have a selection panel, or these guys are just doing whatever they want? Because really, it's not supposed to be a secret. If they are there, we're supposed to know them, to know that these three guys are the ones that are selecting. Because you can clearly see, as the team comes up, no new names, which means nobody's doing any scouting, nobody's looking at the matches, except for the new guys who are coming from Tatenda Taibu's pet project over there. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they're bad. But I'm saying, do we really have selectors right now? Or it's just the coach and the captain picking whoever?
That's the selection panel that we have. We have got the coach, we've got the captain, and we've got the convener with that tender type. So that's how this whole thing is like at the moment. So they're trying to do away with that from what I hear from my sources there. But I'm saying you can't have those clueless provincial chairpersons that I know of the lot. Probably the one that for me might qualify to be in that panel might be Vominda Bamoyo from Matabeleland. The rest, they must just go on there trying to supervise the secretariat and forget about, you know, what they want to do.
All right. One key revelation from your thread, I think, which drew the attention from most people was the point that you raised that, I'll quote, Zimbabwe cricket need to work on the salary disparities between what Brendan Taylor and Carl Jarvis are getting. It's demotivating for other players who are getting as low as $800 per month when Taylor is taking 20 grand per month. Cricket is a team sport. You need other motivated players to win. So why do you think that's a real bone of contention when players have the ability to negotiate their own salaries?
Okay, let's... I want to ask you this question because I remember you did not answer. You said you wanted to play the devil's advocate. So can I be the interviewer on this one?
Then okay, it's fine now. I'll take the question.
Because you had other thoughts on that matter.
Yeah.
I remember you actually quoting the tweet and saying, can I, you know, give your 2 cents? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, so let me just say this first. Are you saying Brendan Taylor is this good at 20 grand and the captain Graham Cremer does not even get half what Taylor gets? Do you think that's a normal world? I remember if you go back at the top, I think I managed to reply someone who was asking about what these guys were getting. Then I said, for them to walk out of their what county contracts, they were supposed to match almost what they were getting there.
Yeah.
You see? And, but I'm saying, even if we're going to pour all our resources in cricket for the 15 contracted players, if we have those ones, we would still be able to give, if you want to give Brendan Taylor 20 grand, we have got the resources to give Graham Cremer 15,000. Or even 18,000.
Uh-huh.
Right. So for me, it's not an issue of Taylor being able to negotiate whatever he negotiated and got. But the main issue is, okay, it also gives Taylor pressure. Because, you know, whenever I'm with these youngsters, you know, they just, you know, so yeah. Already you find this thing where we're saying we managed to keep cricket alive when Taylor went away.
Yeah, Taylor goes, yeah. Exactly.
Because he managed to go away, and that should not be a problem. Because if I can go and play county cricket, who doesn't want to play county cricket?
Yeah.
So sometimes we talk as if we had the same chance, wouldn't have what?
Left. Taken it.
So yeah. Those were the chance to leave. They what? They left. You remember when Craig Evan once left, where he was getting how much? I think it was even about $400 that we were getting, which was said to be off-season contract. Then he went and played cricket somewhere else. Then when he came back, that's when he started scoring all those what runs, because the money that he was getting was not what enough. So all I'm saying is that the gap is just too much. So now probably Mr. Lewis, you can tell me what you think about the disparity, the current disparity, your opinion.
My opinion is that, well, I'm just going to speak from a basic contractual sort of viewpoint. I feel like if I feel I'm good at something and my employer wants to pay me a certain figure, it shouldn't affect my relationship with Slim just because Slim, whenever he was employed by that employer, agreed to earn $100, where I came in and said, I'm worth $1,000 if you want me to play. Why then should Slim be jealous of who I am? If he's jealous, can he raise the issue with the employer, and can it be changed? You know, those are the sort of issues that I have with this viewpoint, that it's demotivating everyone else. So why can they, you know, go up and say, Sim Cricket, you cannot really seriously pay Taylor 20 grand when Creamer is not even earning 10 grand. What is the story? Why are they not approaching this person? You know, this also brings to a point that we're going to go after we speak about the salaries issue, where Ntini was saying, you know, players and staff went behind his back and said they're not happy with his coaching. But when he said, when he went face to face with them, no one could come up to them straightforward. Why do we have these dodgy individuals in within our side who are, you know, who seem to be backstabbing? Because I feel like Brendan Taylor, if he said he wants 20 grand and the employer paid him 20 grand, that should be it. The rest of the players shouldn't be affected by what Brendan Taylor negotiated and got. If they feel they're good enough, why can they not go to Zim Cricket and say, guys, if you can't pay me this, I'm going to go and play in the BPL, for example, or in the Afghanistan T20 League. Why are they not making these terms?
Okay, let Slim jump in. Slim has used, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, for me, the first thing is ZC continuously say that they do not have money. And yet they had money to buy out the contract, let me call it that, of two premier players from England. I was happy, I have to be honest. But I was the one who asked the question. And I'm the one who triggered the famous thread, because it was I who asked about Brendan Taylor and Kyle Jarvis. And for me, at the very least, if they were going to bring those guys back, they should have adjusted the contracts of the other guys. The second thing for me is those contracts are not even performance-based, because for guys who are earning that much amount of money, you'd have expected a performance better than the guys who were in Sri Lanka, to be honest, who are being paid way less, but they have come back. Let's be honest, what have you seen? What have you done? Jarvis, yes, is here and there, yeah. But come on, I'm disappointed by that. But that being said, yes, you make valid points. If you can negotiate a contract, it's fair and fine. But now players are going twos and threes to go to Bangladesh because we cannot afford to send our players there. We even missed a warm-up match because we could not afford to send players there. So there's something that is, I think, the secrecy. Let's be honest, that's the thing. Well, those players, I'm sure they were not told. They found out. And once the secrecy goes, even with the players, like you are saying, they go behind the back, these things should be out in the open. I should be able to know, like I know when the Australian players were negotiating their contracts and they have an association and they were negotiating in bulk.
Yeah.
Here it seems, mashrake, everybody negotiates their own, each to their own. That doesn't work. It's a team sport.
Can I just add something?
Yes, Brian.
See, the most critical thing here is that, let me just tweet in. I'm currently working on a book about Zimbabwe cricket. I'll just leave it there. I won't try and get
much into anticipated.
Exclusive on Mike Said Match.
recently we had an interview with one of the main protagonists, where I think probably one of the most popular chapters, if ever, the book gets published, where he says a lot of very interesting things. But the point that I want to make is this. There are things in Zimbabwe cricket that you cannot view in isolation of the history of cricket in this country.
Okay.
See, it would be very folly of me or anyone not to acknowledge the history of this country in terms of cricket, where there have been issues of racism, right?
Yes.
Then let's talk about when Aussies and them took over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then obviously everybody knew this issue where people said, hey, if you're not a Kashinga, you don't get selected.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing where within the black community, there was also what? There were also divisions.
Those divisions, yeah.
Right. So the point that I want to make, all those things now, they come into play on how people negotiate. Let's go back to the World Cup, the last World Cup, where players were given, I'm forgetting the amount of money that they were supposed to play. So you had that one former captain I would try not to mention his name, okay, but it's obvious.
Yeah.
Where, to use street language, where he sneezed on people for him to go to the World Cup. Because he wasn't supposed to go on what? On that plane to the what? To the World Cup. Uh-huh. So I'm saying there's been this division, you know, between players and everybody else. You know, if we want to talk about cricket, we can talk until the cows come home.
Definitely.
Let's talk about what happened to the Zimbabwe player representative. Slim raised the issue of the Australian cricket and cricketers negotiating as a team.
Uh-huh.
The management came in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you found the players. I remember, I think the name of Hamilton came through. Prosper Otsea's name came through. I think Elton is also, where now they wanted their wives to be part of what of the management of the Zimbabwe players representative, when Elias Zimba was the what, the players representative. Because what had happened was that Zimbabwe ZPC, something like that, became part of the international board. Is it FICA or something like that? So they were accused of being militant towards what? The management. So I'm saying there was this division. So I'm saying the Zimbabwe cricket terrain is littered with Lizwe versus Goredema versus Slim. And then after we have all finished our playing career, we look that we were very silly. We were supposed to have
just worked together,
bargained, got the most out of what we could get, because there is no money that you can earn post playing career. I was talking to someone today, so we're trying to discuss some of the players, famous players, from the black community who actually own houses after years and years of earning a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we actually laughed. One of my favorite players was not even among us, those ones that,
own houses.
You know, but I know what he got. I will not mention the World Cup that he went to when things were still fair then.
Yeah.
We are saying the players get $1 million. If he got his share of $1 million from 15 players or 21 players, so you can do the maths, 21 divided by what? By 1 million. And why doesn't he ever? I was talking about proper US dollars when they were not these ones, 2009 US dollars. I'm saying proper US dollars.
You don't have to answer this, but is it a player who frequents Harare Sports Club? I said you don't have to answer this one.
The clues are there.
I think we're close to running out of time, but I just want us to dive into the Makhayantini. Thanks for shedding light on the salaries issue. Makhayantini, what's your opinion on what happened to him? He says he was told, you know, it's done, you better go because players and staff don't like you. One journalist, Mehluli Spando, was saying, you know, his contract was already done. You know, it was just a matter of him going because his contract was done. And then there's, you know, popular opinion, which is the rest of us are saying, but why did you let Makhayantini go based on the improvements that the team has shown in the past two years in terms of the bowling aspect? So where do you stand with the Makhayantini issue?
Okay, I'll come back to what I said and what I continually say.
Mm-hmm.
Not all former players are either good administrators, or not all former players are good coaches. You see, sometimes transferring what's in your head to someone might be difficult.
Yeah.
It's the same way that you might want to have a cricket pundit on, let's say you've got a weekly cricket program, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But you might find a former player might not be articulate, so that the viewers might hear his views. But if you go back to YouTube and try and look at his videos, my God, this guy was something else.
Yeah.
For me, Makhaya was never a bowling coach. He was never a bowling coach, because I spoke to a lot of players. Not after the same mutiny that they did behind the scenes. No. When he started off, before the former Australian, what's his name? The former coach that we fired.
I remember in Australia, what's his name?
Dave Watmore. Before Dave Watmore was fired, I spoke to the players, a lot of players. They said, no. I asked Mike Makaya, if I'm a right-hander, how do I bowl an in-swing or an away? You know, how do I hold the ball? Then he tells you, I just used to do it. You know? So you just find a way to do it. So from that front, let's not forget again how Makaya came in. Tavengwa Mkutlani. It was before Taibu, and he wanted to, now that he's taken over everybody, look at Zimbabwe. Now we've attracted one of the best bowlers ever to grace the cricket pitch from South Africa, Makaya team. Then when Makaya came in, yes, you might say the team, improved. I would say it was mainly coincidence. he never really did anything with those bowlers. But let's also not forget, Makaya came to Zimbabwe for a CV.
Yeah.
Because he could not get a job in South Africa. So he had to prove himself. So you had a Mkutlani who was trying to be, seeking legitimacy. Makaya wants, a good CV. Then my insiders now, they tell me this, like what you gave in that brief analogy that Makaya's contract, I'm told it was almost up, I think about 4 months ago. So this one, this is the word that he used, that Makaya idofo, and it Makaya idofo how? What ZC tried to do with Makaya when they said Makaya resigned was trying to safeguard Makaya's future endeavors. To say, you see, your contract, we're not going to renew it either way. So let's just agree that you've resigned, right? So if you've resigned, they won't say on the CV, you were fired. There's a difference between you're fired and what you resigned.
Yeah.
So, but because Makaya, using the way that guy used, I'm not the one who used it. Makaya, so you wanted to tell the world, remember, the cricket has become so popular in this country. Anyone who's anti Zimbabwe cricket will get sympathizers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have not done many things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But here they tried to let the man live with dignity. You rightfully said, if you negotiate a contract and then if the employer does not want to renew a contract, there's no need to throw tantrums. You know? If you're good at what you do. Dave Watmore walked away and he gave his interview. He said, no, Zimbabwe, I was going to go the road of Kenya. You know, after that, we never heard anything about Watmore. So the same thing about Makaya and Tini. Makaya probably should have just walked away, find a new job. If he's doing well, then he might say to you and any other journalist, I'm not giving interviews. Then after 3 months, maybe he's working with watch the Cape Cobras and then they're doing all, they say no, those people mistreated me, ABCD.
Yeah.
You see, so again, let's not forget, Makaya is also coming from South Africa where he's got these scars of racism, it's there on one of my, where Makaya even remarked that Zimbabwe is going the South African way where the players are getting less and less black players representing Zimbabwe. So you guys be careful. But then let's look at when he was given the temporary role as the head coach when Sri Lanka came to Zimbabwe. How many did he select?
Mm-hmm.
The same things that he was crying out for. Because I'll give an example. We had Victor Nyawuchi, who was the best bowler locally. He did not go with Victor Nyawuchi. He went with Michael Chinowuya, and we know what happened in that series. So, people talk, and like what I said, if attacks about the cricket, you have many listeners, but they're saying things that they've also done correctly. So you should give also Jews where they are Jew. So Makaya is not a saint, but above all else, Makaya for me is a fitness coach. I think he should apply as a fitness coach. If you wanted the Ryan Bell's, job, you might, or a goat, yes. If you want to work, Makaya is a good at fitness, but to transfer what he learned, then there's another issue of egos that also clashed. His trick Makai. So Makai would say, you know what? I played at the highest level. I took 400 plus wickets. How many did you take? So you'd find there was always this issue. So let's look at what Otis Gibson did in South Africa. When he took over, he was coming from England where he was the bowling coach. Mm-hmm. Then Charl Langford was the coach of the Proteas. So then he said, no, I want to bring my own backroom staff. And among his backroom staff, he doesn't have a bowling coach. He is the bowling coach. Mm-hmm. So Heath should have done the same thing. But unfortunately, Heath came in whilst Makai's contract was already running.
Progress, okay.
You see? Yeah. And from the things that I hear from the players, you might say whatever you want to say. Dagi Wondo is a very good bowling coach. Whether the people listen to him or don't, because remember, he was replaced by Makai. So it means
people listen to him in terms of the fans or the players themselves?
No, the players. You know, we might coach, but people don't want.
So the players are not responding to Hondo's methods, is that what you're saying?
It might be so, but the guy is a good coach from those that have worked with him, probably on the fringe side, that have actually performed better, where they are almost in the reckoning of being selected for the national team. But the national team, you might say they did not improve that much. But I'm talking about the fringe players, where Slim is saying, no, how do I do this? Then Hondo teaches him.
So should we stick Hondo to the Zim A side, to the development side, to the rising academies side, and keep him away from the national team? Because from a fan point of view, you know, I will not forget how terrible our death bowling was under Hondo. I will never forget. We'd know we'd lose the game in the last 10 overs when Hondo was coach. And, you know, for all your criticism, I still feel it changed when Tini came in. You know, we did improve with our last 10 over bowling, you know, when Tini was in charge. Could be down to experience, to his game management, without necessarily the coaching aspect of everything. Just his ability to coach or mentally prepare the players for that sort of tense period.
Before I answer that one, let me give you... do you remember the game against India? T20 match that we almost won, and I think Timson Maruma was in that game, played in that game, where we almost won that game. I think we needed a few runs. So I had an interview with Timson after that game.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is for Slim, who's been giving stick to Zulu. The betting coach.
Mm-hmm.
Saying no, but the betting is, which is what regressed, and the bowling has become better.
Yeah.
And then I was asking him, what does Zulu tell you when, you know, he's teaching you betting? So he said, no, you know what? He's probably one of the best coaches I've ever had in terms of betting. Because one of the things he told me was that this is just a game of cricket. If we lose, we've lost.
Uh-huh.
So don't put yourself under pressure. It's just another game of cricket. And if you look at the way the young man started performing, you know, we all knew that the boy could hit the ball miles.
Yeah.
But he almost won the game for Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is that from a fan's point of view now, like what you say,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, it's about statistics. Like the ones that you've given us now, that the death bowling has improved by so much, you know, compared to what to Hondo's era.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, whether we should leave Hondo at Zim A or at Zim Rising Academy, at the moment we got pestered in when you play the UAE, when Hondo's Zim A went to UAE. So over the last few games, Zim A has been struggling under Hondo. But you look at the first half of the year, they did well. So again, another decision needs to be made in that area. Should we let Hondo continue as the Zim A coach? But again, I hear there's already fight. I won't give you names. People are fighting for his post already. some former players, who are already fighting.
Would say, but I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything.
But then again, I need to ask before. Because people say that we improved, our death bowling was better under Ntini. You know the test match that people talk about that we nearly won, we lost due to our bowling? Like really? I think we didn't really improve under Ntini. Yes, they looked a little bit fitter, or if not tired, not really fitter, but tired, because he used to run them 2 kilometers. So says Vusisibanda.
2 kilometers?
He said that he would make them
that's
run
nothing.
Them. Yeah, well, we've got lazy boys over there. I do feel like we need to work on our fitness, especially our bowlers. I think they could bowl faster if they did a bit of gym work, a bit of fitness. But I really think that in terms of technique, I didn't really see an improvement in Antini. And right now, I heard that it's Wondo who went to the boys. So really, we have to see if this decision pays off. Maybe Streak has to work with Wondo together to make the bowlers better. But again, it's the pace bowlers. I saw they brought in a spin specialist. We talked about it on Twitter. And I saw him working with Creamer. Maybe we'll make him a little bit better. He was really raving about Creamer. That's how he got him. He's got a nice name, Chris Brown. Not the singer, the bowler, the bowling coach. But really, I really hope that whatever is happening at ZC, I really hope that they do something that improves the results. Because I'm tired of making excuses for Zim Cricket. It's time they start showing that they are winners. And we have no excuses. Qualifiers at home, home ground, the crowd will be there. We're going to encourage all our listeners. We need to go. We need to support Zim Cricket when the qualifiers start.
Yeah.
We have no excuses. We just have to qualify for the World Cup.
Slim, those will have to be your last words. And Brian, I think we'll get you back in. We, you know, cricket will go on for 24 hours. But for the sake of the people who will be listening, we just have to cut now. What are your final words? I think we'll get you in just before the World Cup qualifiers, or maybe after the first few matches of the World Cup qualifiers. What are your final thoughts before we sign out?
My final thought is that we can't afford not to go to the World Cup. We need the money. not for anything.
Do you think we'll go to the World Cup?
Okay. I think today or tomorrow, I'm not sure, the draw is going to be made. It's going to be an 8-team tournament.
Yeah.
With two groups, four teams in each group. So if, for example, West Indies are in Group A, then it automatically goes to Group B.
Okay.
Now, the question is that, what do we need to avoid? Afghanistan or Ireland? Because it means one of them will be in the other.
I'd rather have the Irish, though.
I'd rather have the Irish. Afghanistan will batter us.
So, but again, then if you avoid one of them, then we should try and avoid again, you know, Netherlands. So it means Netherlands is in, okay, so let me just give you this. So Zimbabwe, let's say Zimbabwe is with Ireland. So automatically they would have either Scotland or Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other one. Then the fourth one would be the Weeping Boys. So already, it's difficult. From where I'm standing,
yeah.
Afghanistan must try and avoid Afghanistan, what everybody said. Because look at Abdul Rashid is playing in the Big Bash at the moment. Nabi, their bowler again is playing. And where are our bowlers playing? In the BPL. You see, so that gulf in class, but my final words is that whoever is listening to this program, if you're an administrator, may you please select the best team. Our 15-man squad to play in the qualifiers. You need the money. You are Mr. Administrator who's listening to this program.
Uh-huh.
Zimbabwe cricket needs the money so that we develop the next generation that will play for Zimbabwe. These under-19s, they need to one day don this jersey. So let's not select our mates. Let's select the best team. And from there, you also get the support from everyone.
Right, that's it from Brian. Catch him on Twitter at Brian Goredema. That's his Twitter account. That's where he's active, sharing all these tidbits on what's happening on cricket. I was also joined on this episode by Slim Sem at Slim_SEM on Twitter. Hit him up for review and thoughts. I am Lizwe Chitanganya, available on at Lizwe C on Twitter. And this show is Mike Set Match. Find us as well on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, at Mike Set Match. We give you all the quality sports, all the hot sports on social media, and we bring them to your ears. So until the next episode, thank you for joining us. This has been brought to you by Capital 263, who own us. So with that, thank you.
And now. Capital 263.